Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's take a few moments to review the small catechism on confession. This is what it says. What is confession? Confession has two parts. First, that we confess our sins, and second, that we receive absolution, that is, forgiveness, from the pastor as from God himself. Not doubting, but firmly believing that by it our sins are forgiven before God in heaven. What sins should we confess? Before God, we should plead guilty of all sins, even those we are not aware of, as we do in the Lord's Prayer. But before the pastor, we should confess only those sins we know and feel in our hearts. Which are these? Consider your place in life according to the Ten Commandments. Are you a father, mother, son, daughter, husband, wife, or worker? Have you been disobedient, unfaithful, or lazy? Have you been hot-tempered, rude, or quarrelsome? Have you hurt someone by your words or deeds? Have you stolen, been negligent, wasted anything, done any harm? What is the office of the keys? The office of the keys is that special authority which Christ has given to his church on earth to forgive the sins of repentant sinners, but to withhold forgiveness from the unrepentant as long as they do not repent. Where is this written? This is what St. John the Evangelist writes in chapter 20. The Lord Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." What do you believe according to these words? I believe that when the called ministers of Christ deal with us by his divine command, in particular when they exclude openly unrepentant sinners from the Christian congregation and absolve those who repent of their sins and want to do better, this is just as valid and certain, even in heaven, as if Christ our dear Lord dealt with us himself. You heard that St. John's Gospel was mentioned as a cited text, but we heard this morning how even the Gospel of Matthew talks about the forgiveness of sins and the office of the keys. Let's take a look. Our text starts at an unusual place, but as you see, Jesus connects the opening with the rest of the passage. He describes how we're children under the Father in heaven, that we don't want to offend any of the little ones, and how to make amends if we do, or if our brother sins against us. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." Those of us who think of sin but lightly, here is what sin deserves. And not only drowning, but eternal condemnation. Today there's this false hope that in hell one will be reunited with friends and it will be a party for all time. But that is not what Jesus says concerning hell. Earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, he says there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth in that place. Now Jesus does acknowledge that the world is full of sin, that it is not perfect. He says, "Woe to the world for temptations to sin." But he also says, "It is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom the temptation comes." Indeed, if even one of your body parts causes you to sin, Jesus says it's better for you to chop it off and to enter eternal life without it, whether it be your hand, your foot, or even your eye. As the commentator writes, One need look no further than these words of Jesus to see how much the holy God hates sin. Who of us can say that our hand or eye or foot has not caused us to sin? We all deserve to be thrown into the hell of fire. But some of the next verses bring us comfort. Jesus continues, "What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." Jesus is the good shepherd. It is he who has come down out of heaven, took on the flesh of a human being, and suffered and died for your sins. He suffered and died for the sins of the entire world of all time. For everyone. Everyone of all time. Everyone of this time. Everyone of this nation. Everyone of this state. Everyone of this congregation. And everyone of you. He has paid for your sins and sought you out as the good shepherd. Your good shepherd. And we are all brothers and sisters under him as our shepherd. Brothers and sisters who have eternity before us. So if your brother sins against you, he has not severed your connection with your Savior. You still have eternity coming to you. Human beings cannot take that from you. Only Christ can remove that from you. You have more than enough in Christ. Rather, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. This is not because he owes you something. Again, you have all that you need in Christ. It is an effort to win back your brother, one of these little children, one of the sheep for whom Jesus died. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Matthew 18 is all about our brotherhood under Christ, our shepherd. We are the little ones who believe like children. We live sanctified lives, not practicing sin, but repenting when we fall into it, lest we lead other little children of Christ away. But sometimes it's necessary to point out a brother or sister's fault to him or her. As we made mention a few moments ago, we may not even be aware of all the ways that we sin. Or even if we do know that what we are doing is sin, we need a brother or sister to tell us our fault so that we can turn from it. As we've covered before, that is what we pray for ourselves in the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And again, God's will is done when he breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come. So Jesus continues, "Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them." Our desire in Jesus Christ is not to have our sin bound to us, but to hear that loosing good news of the gospel, that Jesus has paid the price for our sins, that he has paid the price for your sins. In each situation in life, the goal is to apply the gospel, that beautiful, blessed news that we are set free from our sin by Jesus. This is the case in confession and absolution as we as a body confess on Sunday mornings. This is the case when we make confession privately before the pastor. And it is even the case if church discipline should happen. The goal is always that we desire to apply the gospel, that freeing good news that Jesus has paid for our sins. In some cases, that is not able to be done. But even when it is not able to be done, we always have the opportunity to reach out. According to the commentator, after all efforts had failed to convince the sinner to repent, he was to be regarded as outside the church fellowship. This did not preclude future efforts to regain him. In other words, if we do have to go through church discipline at some point or another congregation, we always have the ability to reach out to that neighbor in the grocery store, at work, at home, or anywhere else. We always have that ability. So that is what we as brothers and sisters do under our shepherd, Jesus Christ. We live together in love. But we also recognize that we are still sinners. We do those things which we, through God's Spirit, do not want to do. And we confess them. We confess them and receive Christ's forgiveness from Christ's ministers, trusting that when those over us tell us the absolution, it is just as valid and certain in heaven as if God Himself has said it. Then that forgiveness strengthens our faith, along with the reception of the true body and true blood in with and under the bread and wine from this table. We receive that so that we might continue in faith until that day when our shepherd, Jesus Christ, will bring us home. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.